On today's episode of Tips from the Top Floor, we look at your wonderful submissions to the July Slack Challenge, some really amazing photography to discuss, and I'll introduce you to a gadget that uses a red crosshair to solve one specific problem really well. This episode is brought to you by Dougal, a legendary photo lab that is now at your fingertips. Shop Dougal is the expanded online storefront of Dougal Visual Solutions, a leader and innovator in printing for over 50 years. At shopdougal.com, you now have instant access to world-class printing solutions such as HD photo and archival pigment prints, acrylic prints, canvas prints, metal prints, photo books, and more. And they ground ship for free. Give us your best, we'll give you ours. Find out more at shopdougal.com/topfloor. That's shopdougal.com/topfloor. And use promo code TOPFLOOR at checkout to get 25% off your first order. This is Tips from the Top Floor, episode 834 for Thursday, August the 2nd, 2018.
Tips from the top floor, tips from the top, all right, from the top floor.
Hello and welcome. It's Chris again with another episode of your favorite photography podcast. That's the stretching sound I make when I've just fallen out of bed in the morning. Getting ready for the Ireland tour and the Morocco tour and the Lofoten tour. The fall is upon us. The travel season is upon us, and it's. It's a lot of organizing, a lot of shifting things back and forth. It's challenge time today. It's reviewing the challenge, the July challenge, and a bit more later on the show. But let's kick that challenge off first, because I love these. They are only every other month, but it's such a great excuse to go out and take pictures. And if you're new to this, here's what's going on. Every other month, our release pixie, Matt, gives us all a photo challenge to participate in. And these challenges usually take 2 months. And the topic of the last challenge was landscape. And it's now officially over. And as every time, there's no prize to win, but I will review three of your pictures from the challenge here on the show and put the links into the show notes so you can watch along. And again, no video this time. I know, Matt, you like the videos, but I have received almost no feedback from any of the listeners regarding the videos. So, yeah, I don't think they really add that much value. They might be nice to look at, but as I can tell, it's not really helping anyone. So the links are in the show notes if you want to watch along while I talk about photos. That's probably the easiest one. And as those videos are quite a bit more work to produce than it might seem, if you just look at them, I'm not doing a video for this challenge. Not saying that I won't in the future, but it kind of depends a bit on the feedback. Anyway, let's get into it. Thanks all. Great submissions as usual. It's wonderful to see this little community, this little photo taking, sharing, challenge community form there on the Slack. And I know that it's open for everyone, so it's a great place to hang out with people and discuss photography and submit stuff along an assignment that we do here. So again, three photos caught my eye, and let's get right into the three. The first was by Joshua Peterson, and I'm not sure if it's the title. I usually love photos that have like a specific title. This one says four trees in infrared somewhere in the Northeast Washington state. Which is, anyway, it doesn't matter. What we're seeing here, and again, link is in the show notes. It points to a file on our Slack. If you are not a member of the Slack, at the end, I will tell you how to become a member of the Slack. All the files today are directly on the Slack and not outside of it. So kind of a behind a little bit of a walled garden. It's for free, but so it's not public. Image by Joshua Peterson, again, four trees in infrared. And what he did was infrared photography. So, and a good example of that. What we're seeing is two trees in some sort of a field with more trees in the background and a sky on top of them with clouds and it's a bit of a grain or something or grass in the foreground, out of focus. What obviously immediately jumps my eye is the what we call the Wood effect, named after Robert W. Wood, which is what happens when you shoot infrared, where you lock out, where you take a medium film or a digital camera that sees infrared, and you lock out the visible light, so you only see the infrared light. And what happens there is that vegetation, green vegetation, turns white. And it has to do with like the chlorophyll, being transparent to infrared, and then the light being reflected on whatever's inside the leaf, something along those lines. But the result is a visually interesting, because the green turns white, it looks like a snowscape. It looks like there is snow on the trees, on the leaves. The field under the trees is white. And another thing that happens is that the sky turns almost black. So the blue in the sky is black. The clouds are white. Big, big contrast there. Those pictures always have kind of false colors. And I can tell that Joshua did a bit of post-production on those. And it has a lot of depth because the out-of-focus foreground and a very beautiful layered composition. A lot of detail in the leaves, which is not easy with infrared photography because you end up, because you just use a very tiny fraction of the spectrum, which is even outside the visible spectrum, you will typically end up with longer exposure times. And what happens if you shoot a tree with long exposure times? Well, it's going to move and you get out of focus stuff there, or camera shake there. It's hardly any to see in that photo from what I can tell. So either he did this at a time of day where it's very calm, which would be in the morning, but there's not much infrared in the morning, or he was just lucky or very, very patient. So this is, yeah, it's a good example of good technique, interesting subject, beautiful landscape composition. So Joshua, I love the picture. Next one is by Adrian Chitty, Mr. Mountain Hop, Misty Mountain Hop is what the title says. And it's a picture of trees in a forest. And yes, it's misty and it's green. And I like it because, well, first of all, it's a very geometrical photo. You see all the verticals of the trees. And it's usually hard to take good pictures of the depth in forests. I've had this years ago. I walked past a forest, or actually through a forest, and I looked to the side while I walked, and you have this amazing parallax effect because you have all these very similar looking trees, but they are at different distances from you. So the ones in the foreground move faster than the ones in the background, and that gives you an enormous feeling of depth. And then you point your camera there, and that camera flattens it out into 2D, and it doesn't work anymore because you're missing the parallax motion. So these things are hard to photograph. Also, what often happens is that you end up with a lot of an enormous dynamic range in those photos because the forest is dark, and then there's bright sky coming in between the trees, and that just blows everything out, and it looks weird. And it's very hard to get this right. And what Adrian did here is first of all, he kept the sky out of the photo, which is really helpful, keeps the dynamic range low. So we end up with a lot of like diffuse light, no point light sources, no direct sunlight, which gives the whole thing a bit of a dreamy feeling. And the depth comes back into this picture because of the mist. There's mist in the forest, and that means the further away you go, the lower the contrast. So the contrast disappears or increases into the depth, and that just restores that depth perception so beautifully. Also, another thing that works for me here is a very reduced color palette. This is not a colorful picture that shouts at you. It's a very subdued color palette. Green, brownish tones, that's it pretty much. And that in combination with no sky in the photo, or virtually no sky in the photo, to reduce the dynamic range. Again, kudos. That's a great photo. Number three by Brian Bellrat. Montezuma NWR is the title, I think. And this is an interesting one. And it's a good example of perception, of what you see and how it is informed by your experience. You know, if you look at something, you will always kind of filter that through, well, what I call like a backpack. You go through life, you have experiences, you watch movies, you see other photography, you put all this in your, in air quotes, backpack. You put this in there, and every time you subsequently look at something, you will match it with things that are in your backpack, and that will inform how you feel about something. So what we're seeing here is first of all, a very reduced color palette. It's a field with some sort of grain on it. It's an interesting lens, which makes a very interesting bokeh. And it's kind of, yeah, it is in focus, but not really. And it really has a lot of like emotion in it for me. The sunlight's coming in from behind, and that lights up the field in a very interesting way, and it lights up all the dust in the air, or maybe it's insects or both. There's stuff above the field that is lit up by the sun, and my first feeling was, it must go back to some time in the 80s, Cold War times, when I saw a documentary about what nuclear war would do, and they had this one sequence in there where like a nuclear explosion would turn everything into like into a fiery inferno. And I mean, I wasn't scared of that when I saw this as a child, but it was something that left a lasting impression on me. And this photo goes right through I go right to my backpack, I pull that inferno visual out, and this one, it's color super reduced color palette. It's pretty much only orange warm from the sun, but again, it could be fire, you know. And the dust in the air looks like debris, like after an explosion of sorts, and the out of focus nature gives it a feeling of it being kind of hastily shot, as opposed to super tight, super sharp everywhere. And it's just a wonderful example how what you see is always informed by what you know, by your baggage, pretty much. So yeah, great example, Brian, and all three, Joshua, Adrian, and Brian, great job. Thank you so much for sharing your photography with all of us. And all others who submitted photos, thank you too. It was a tough choice this time. You all submitted awesome stuff. Now, it's time for the next challenge, and here's Matt.
Hello, everyone. Raphstar, the Release Pixie here, and it is time for another Slack challenge. The July challenge is wrapping up, and I did really good. I got out twice. I took photos for the challenge specifically, and I got an entry in, and I think it was pretty good. And so now it's time to set up for the next one. So this is for the September 2018 challenge, and I asked a bunch of the TFTTF slackers what I should have. I asked for some ideas. I've got a small list of ideas, but now I have a fairly decent list of ideas that everybody has put in, and I had several people suggest this topic, and so we're going to do this. This is the challenge for this month, is reflections. Nothing else, no lens combinations, no color issues, no nothing like that. But just go out and take a photo for the topic reflections. Get that taken, picked one photo only, please. Don't dig through your back catalog. Go out and take a new one. And I'm going to make an effort to go out at least twice and or set up here in my house anyway for reflections and take some pictures. Make sure you give it a name, not just the title out of your camera, and host it up on your favorite image hosting website or in the Slack. Slack can host photos too. Post it to the channel, and I'll be creating the channel here shortly. And if it's not already up by the time this is posted, and then at the end of September 2018, Chris will pick a couple of them, and he'll take a look at them. And be sure to leave your feedback on that. I know last month Chris didn't have a chance to do a video review, and he said he hadn't received a lot of feedback on the video reviews. I personally thought it was really great. It was really nice to be able to see the photos while I was listening to the reviews. But again, let Chris know if you like that and if you want to continue that. Again, so September challenge, reflections. Happy shooting, everybody.
Thank you, Matt. So again, no video this time, but the reflections challenge. Okay. I already have a couple of ideas there. So here's how you can participate in the challenge. If you're already on the TFTTF Slack, if you're a Slacker, go to the new challenge channel. Its title is Challenge-Sept 2018, S-E-P-T 2018. And for those of you who are already Slack members, the direct link to the new challenge channel is in the show notes, so you can just click that. If you're not on the TFTTF Slack just yet, it's easy to go there. It's easy to get on there. It's free. Check out tfttf.com/whyslack, W-H-Y-S-L-A-C-K, to get access. Our CIO, Rusty Russ, will be happy to get you on board. And as usual, there's no prizes. The reason for you to participate should be to help motivate yourself for photography. I know lots of people are in rut, and that's a really good way to do this. That'll give you a reason to get off your behind and go out and take new photos. And that seems to be working for Matt, so why shouldn't it work for you? And as usual, don't just pull out an old photo from your Lightroom catalog. Take a new photo. That's really the entire point here. You have till the end of September, and I can't wait to see your photos for the Reflections Challenge. All right, today there's just one thing and one thing only that I want to address here in that middle segment of the show, and it's your questions. Now, this is the place where I occasionally ask you to send in a question to voice@tfttf.com, and I know many of you are doing that, but also others are happy when others send in questions. And I know from my very own experience that there are two main reasons that might keep you from sending in a question. The first one is often, well, it's not that you don't have a question, it's that you are maybe a little bit afraid that that question is too simple, or that others might think, what a stupid question. And I have that myself sometimes when I'm in a room with others, and then if I ask that question anyway, there's always someone in the room whose eyes light up because they had that very same question and they didn't dare to ask. And at that moment, I am their hero. And the second reason people are afraid to call in with a question is because they think their voice sounds funny. Now, trust me. Trust your photography podcaster. I'm trying to put a very serious tone on here. Your voice is just fine. No, I'm serious. Your voice is fine. And you know, I have a lot of tricks up my sleeve to make people look beautiful in photos. I also have a lot of tricks to make you sound beautiful if you send in a question. And especially now, at this point in time, I want your questions. And lots of them. Because I'm about to start pre-recording episodes for my fall travels, and I can't imagine anything more exciting than to do that answering your questions. So become someone's hero today. This is your chance. Fire up that voice memo app on your phone, record your question right now, and then send it to hero@tfttf.com. Yep, that's hero@tfttf.com. I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Hey, this is Bob from Manitowoc, Wisconsin. I first started listening to Tips from the Top 4 after hearing about it on the Trucker Tom podcast. Anyway, I went to the Oshkosh Air Show in Oshkosh, Wisconsin last week, and trying to shoot video on my Canon Rebel, and it won't give you the option to look through the viewfinder. It wants to make you look at the screen in the back and trying to find the airplanes in the frame, and the bright glare is very difficult. Do you have any ideas how to deal with it? Thank you very much. Bye.
Thanks, Bob. Okie dokie. Okay, so a few issues that you're facing here, and I think the main one is the screen is not bright enough, and it's hard to track something small in the sky, and it's in fact not easy because you are looking at a relatively small target, and then planes are often a bit more predictable in their motions than birds, but in general, they're hard to spot. And what makes this even more difficult is when you're working with something that you will work in with in this context, and it's a long focal length. If you have a longer focal length, your angle of view gets tighter and you'll see less of the sky, and the camera motion gets more pronounced. Now, before we get to your point, there are just a few things here. That's certainly territory for image stabilization. So if your lens does that, or if your camera can do that, that will take a lot of the shakeout and make your motion smoother. And this is not just for video. This is also, of course, for still photography. And then the more pro bird photographers use big tripods and gimbals, where the camera and the lens combination, they swivel around their center of gravity, which makes it a very smooth and relatively easy motion. But again, spotting stuff, small stuff with a long lens is difficult. And then what adds to that in your case is that the bright sun and the dark, the sun is bright and the screen is dark. First of all, of course, check if your screen is bright enough. You can change the screen brightness in the menu. So that's one thing. Here's another thing to keep glare out of the screen, and that's with an LCD hood or a camera screen hood. That's the thing you might want to search for. They're little hoods that you can attach to the back of your camera that it's like the shield on a baseball cap, pretty much. It takes some of the brightness out and might help there. A third thing that might be helpful here is an LCD screen loop, which you attach to the display, usually kind of a magnetic thing. You stick a frame around your screen and then the loop attaches magnetically. And you want to search for LCD screen loop there. And you pretty much take that camera to your eye then, and it turns into kind of a viewfinder where you see the entire screen magnified through a magnifying glass. Make sure you get one that you can attach to the camera and not just hold in front of it. And that will certainly solve the screen visibility in bright sunlight. But it does not really solve being able to spot the bird or the plane in the first place and then capture it in flight with a long lens. And this is a typical problem, which... Okay, let's talk about different kinds of cameras. Of course, with a DSLR, you often not even get 100% coverage of the screen when you look through the viewfinder. When you shoot video, you have to look at the display, which gives you problems. And rangefinder cameras make it a bit easier because you will, through the viewfinder, you will see more than just what you're looking at in the photo. You will see part of the surroundings, which makes it much easier to track moving things. But then rangefinders are usually more on the wide-angle side, so we're not talking bird photography with those, so that principle doesn't work there. But there is an accessory that can help you, or that will help you, spot things in the sky, fast-flying birds and airplanes, and that will help you get that in the frame. And it's about $130, and it's called the Olympus EE1 Dot Sight. I rarely ever recommend products here on the show, and I'm not being paid by anyone to talk about this product, but when it comes to products that solve a very specific problem, just one specific problem, and that do this in a very ingenious way, that is it. And I've had the chance to play with it in person on a workshop earlier this year, and I was like, what the heck is that thing on your camera? And then we looked at it, and it really solves this one issue. To get a flying object in frame with a long lens without having to search for it. And while it's made by Olympus, it works with pretty much any camera that has a standard flash hot shoe on the top. Works with your Canon, works with your Nikon. How this works is kind of hard to explain, but the way this works... is it's a thing that you, it has a battery in it. It you put it on your hot shoe, you flip it open, and then you can look through it. But you don't look through it by putting your eye to it, but by holding the camera at your outstretched arm. And you have to calibrate it first for your lens. And then, again, you hold it, they hold the camera at your outstretched arm, and you look through that gadget, that Olympus EE1, and it shows you a window. It might be an inch in size. And in the middle, it has an illuminated red dot, more like a little crosshair. And you could, by holding the camera not to your ward your eye, but at your outstretched arm, you see the entire sky. And you see that window with a red dot. And all you have to do is bring that red dot over the airplane or over the bird, like align it so the red dot or little red crosshair shows points at that bird, and then it's in your frame. It's in your frame if you calibrated it well, but that's fairly simple. Now, you'll still have to focus and get the exposure right and everything. Okay, that won't do that for you. It has this one single task, and that is getting that thing in frame. With the long lens, we tested it with a 450 millimeter focal length, and it worked just fine. As long as that red dot and whatever you want to shoot are aligned, your subject will be in the frame. And I can hear the questions. Before you ask what that red dot is, no, it's not a laser. It's not projecting anything out at the plane or the bird, because that, at least with the plane, that might get you in jail pretty quickly. No, it all happens inside the gadget. And from the side, you can't even really see it. So if you're a bird or an airplane photographer, this will make it easy for you to get those moving things in frame with a long lens. And I'll take the liberty to put an affiliate link to the EE1 into the show notes. It solves a very specific problem very, very well. All right, that was it for this episode. Thank you so much for being subscribed. You guys are awesome. And it's the challenges, it's the feedback, it's if you send in a voicemail, if you ask a question at all, kind of every time I get some of that communication with you, some of that interaction with anyone from the Tips from the Top Floor community, it just makes me happy. So send them in. Send in your voicemails to voice@tfttf.com. Keep them coming, especially as I'm about to travel and I need to pre-produce and pre-record a few shows. And send me your questions and help me keep the show going for a few weeks while I'm gone. And of course, if you are looking for ways to support the show, you can find all information at tfttf.com/support. Music for the show by Jeff Smith, sound partner Hans and Hans Petter Kagerud, publishing and Slack challenges by Release Pixie, Matt Rafsitar, Armstead. Oh, wow. It's way too early in the morning. Slack invitations by Chief Invitation Officer CIO Rusty Russ. And the link to get on the Slack and participate in the future challenges is in the show notes. My name is Chris Marquardt. You'll find me on social media at Chris, MarquardT. And now, go out, take amazing photos, be nice to each other, and happy shooting.